This cassette tape contains Bible teaching regarding revelation and end time truth by David E. Ball. The title of this message is Key to Revelation.
Well, let's get into the book of Revelation. About 8 years ago, the Spirit began to deal with me in the book of Revelation and showed me a key. The key to the book of Revelation is in Genesis chapter 41, verse 14. Genesis 41, 14 through 36. Now, we do admit that the book of Revelation is complex and causes somewhat of a trouble and even division among certain denominations and churches. And we don't want this teaching to cause division or upsetness among people. We do believe that the things that we have discovered are right. And what we've discovered is the Bible interprets itself. And especially in the book of Revelation, but also throughout the whole realm of prophecy and prophetic picture. When we ask the Bible itself, what is the meaning of the symbols? Then we couldn't get an answer until we discovered what was in the book of Genesis 41. And we'll turn to it now to see what it says as it opens the key to us. Genesis 41, 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. When Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, In my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kine came up after them, poor, very ill-favored, and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kine did eat up the first seven fat kine. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored, as at the beginning. So I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears withered, thin and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, The dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kine are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now notice that the seven fat cows and the seven fat ears meant the same thing, did they not? and the seven skinny cows and the seven skinny ears stood for the same thing, didn't they? Are cows the same as heads of grain or ears? Well, no. They are symbols for the same thing. Now, the first fat cow and the first fat ear stood for the first year of plenty. And also, the fourth fat cow and the fourth fat ear stood for the fourth year of plenty. Now, also notice that the first skinny cow and the first skinny ear stood for the first year of what? Famine. Now, you see what we're talking about. Now, the seventh skinny cow and the seventh skinny ear stood for the what? The seventh year of famine. All right, now we have that. Pharaoh dreamed this dream about cows. Then it says, so I awoke. Then he dreamed a second dream about the ears. He dreamed two dreams. Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh, the dream was doubled unto you. You got two dreams because... Then he said something that's very important in understanding prophecy. And it doesn't matter which book of prophecy you study, you've got to see this point, that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh because, and then he gave him a two-pronged answer. In other words, an answer with two points. He said, it's been doubled unto Pharaoh because, first point, God established it. And also, second point, it will shortly come to pass. Now, whenever you see or hear prophecy or a prophet, and they give forth a prophecy to you or someone around you, pay very strict attention to that prophet and that prophecy. But let me warn you, don't jump. Don't do it. Don't be so quick to respond until you know and have checked out that prophet or his prophecy, or that either he or another prophet will come along and confirm it through another way. In other words, God will speak twice and show you the same thing through different ways. Now, this is important to see. In Job, it says God speaks once, yea, twice in dreams and visions of the night. In the Psalms, it says God speaks twice. And in the epistles it said, let everything be established out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. And Jesus said, now your law says that out of the mouth of two witnesses shall the thing be established. One time I taught this lesson, and a man and woman came to me with tears running down their cheeks. Oh, they said, I wish you would have taught me this lesson a year ago. And I asked them why. And they said, well, a prophet came and prophesied and told us to sell our house and give them the money. And we did it. And of course, you know what happened. In about 6 months later, they were very disillusioned Christians because, well, they wanted to do right, but the prophet was not prophesying from the Word of God. He was prophesying from his own spirit. And the prophecy was not confirmed. It was not God's will. But these people were deeply earnest Christians, new Christians, wanting to do the will of God. But they were drawn into it. And they were drawn into it because they didn't see that prophecy must be confirmed. And God always speaks twice. And it's all right to wait and ask for him for a confirmation. Joseph said, it's established by God when you get the double or the second time, and it will also shortly come to pass. And that's important. When you do get the prophecy the second time, be ready, because you're in the action. You're ready for it. It will shortly come to pass. That reminds me that when I was over in Utrecht, Holland, a prophet came from South Africa and began to prophesy over me, and prophesied that this revelation of revelations would take me around the world, and began to prophesy a number of other things like that. And a week later, 1,000 miles away, I was in Stockholm, Sweden, and a prophet came from Ohio, met me in this hotel lobby in Stockholm, Sweden, and prophesied over me the very same words that I had heard a week ago, or a week before that, over in Holland. And, of course, I knew that these men didn't know each other and didn't have a chance to work together or to make the thing up. And later on, about a year later, I was in church at home, and a man, another prophet, came and said the very same words again, the third time. But this time, he also added something, and he said that the spirit of Ezra is to come upon you. But I didn't understand or know what the spirit of Ezra was. So after church, I came home and got out all my study books and looked up Ezra, and here's what I found. Ezra took the prophecies that are in the books of Moses and rewrote them in the language of the people so that they could understand it. And, of course, I began to understand what this was about. And very soon thereafter, I found myself writing this book that Revelation makes sense. But I didn't do that until I had it out of the mouth of two or three witnesses and out of the mouth of these prophets. In the book of Genesis, chapter 41, you saw seven fat cows, seven skinny cows, seven fat ears, and seven skinny ears. Now notice in the book of Revelation, what do we see? We see seven seals, seven trumpets, seven angel messengers, and seven golden vials. We see 7777 in Genesis, and we see the same combination in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is doubled exactly like the first prophecy in the Bible with interpretation. By the way, in Genesis, that is the first interpretation of prophecy, the one we were just reading, Genesis 41, the first interpretation of prophecy, and it works and it fits and it unlocks the secrets of the last prophecy, the book of Revelation. We take the words that are in the book of Genesis and we form a key from those words, and we take that key that's made out of the words in the book of Genesis and take that key over to the book of Revelation and insert it and twist it in the lock, and the book of Revelation is opened by the key that's made out. Really now, who cares what you and I think about the book of Revelation? It's really what the Bible says about itself, how the Bible interprets itself. If I could teach you what I thought about the book of Revelation, it wouldn't be the same as what I teach now, because now I see the doubles and the parallels, and they're not the same as when I originally learned many years ago. Now, I have found out, and you have already discovered, that the first trumpet is the same as the first vial. So let's turn to that in Revelation chapter 8, verse 7, and we'll read that together. And the first angel sounded, and there were hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And a third part of the trees was burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. I was drawing pictures in chapter 8 of the book of Revelation, and when I got to these seven trumpets, I was to draw the first trumpet in 8:7, and it said the first trumpet blew, and this hail and fire were poured on the what? What was it? It was on the earth. Notice that. So I drew a big round circle and put four quadrants on it, north and south pole, and it said all the green grass was burned up. So I put little wiggly lines all the way around the ball and call that the green grass. Then it also said a third of the trees was burned up. So I took a third of it and put big wiggly lines around that third and said, well, now that's the trees burning up because it makes more fire than grass. And that was the picture of the first trumpet. Now, what happened was that here later on, about 3 months later, this time in chapter 16, I was drawing a picture. But now, notice that, or remember that I had the whole book of Revelation memorized, and I still didn't see these things. I still couldn't tell you these things until after I drew the pictures. Then I got to chapter 16, verse 2, and I drew the picture for the first golden vial. And in 16:2 it says, and the first went and poured his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men who had the mark of the beast, and upon them that worshipped his image. here we are, 3 months later, drawing pictures in the last half of the book of Revelation, chapter 16, and I drew a picture of the earth again. And I said, 3 months ago I drew a picture of the earth for the first trumpet. And I went back to my file, I got the picture from the first trumpet, and traced it. But this time I traced most of it, and then I drew the picture of the golden vial being poured out on top of the earth. Now let's notice what the second trumpet says. The second trumpet is in Revelation chapter 8, verse 8. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. Now we'll stop. We won't finish the whole section here to conserve time, because we're trying to show the whole total picture and not to analyze individual parts right now. Now let's look at the second golden vial, and that will be in chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 3. The second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. Now, we have noticed that the second vial was on the sea, and it became blood. And we remember that when we read the second trumpet, it was also on the sea, and it became blood. The second trumpet was blown on the sea, and it became blood. The second vial was poured on the sea, and it became blood. And we're noticing something. What are we noticing? Now let's read the third trumpet. The third trumpet is in the first part of the book of Revelation, chapter 8, verse 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and fountains of waters. We'll stop, and we won't go any further right now. Rivers and fountains of waters, remember that. Now, we'll go to the third vial in chapter 16. Verse 16:4. The third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And that's what we read for the third trumpet over in chapter 8. As a review, the third trumpet was on the rivers and fountains of waters, and the third vial was on the rivers and fountains of waters. Now, the trumpets that we've read so far are all in the first half of the Revelation, chapter 8 and so forth, and the vials are in chapter 16, the last half. Now, the fourth trumpet is in 8:12. The fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars. Remember, the sun, moon, and stars. Now, the fourth vial is in chapter 16, verse 8. Now, the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given him to scorch men with fire. Now, it's the same thing, wasn't it? The sun for the fourth trumpet, the sun for the fourth vial. Now, it does say sun, moon, and stars for the fourth trumpet, and just sun for the fourth vial, but we'll define that or call it the heavenly. Now, the fifth trumpet is in Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Remember, bottomless pit. We could go on here. This is a long one, but we'll stop and look at the fifth vial now. The fifth vial is in chapter 16, verse 10. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. Now, this is the first time in the whole list that this does not use the exact same words. Now, the first half referred to the bottomless pit, but the second half referred to the seat of the beast. But really, you don't have to use too much imagination to see that the seat of the beast is the bottomless pit, or the bottomless pit is the seat of the beast. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 14, it says that. If you look there, you'll find out that he says he took Lucifer and threw him into the sides of the pit. Now we'll go to the sixth trumpet. The sixth trumpet in the first half of the book of Revelation, chapter 9, verse 13, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar that was before God, the same to the sixth angel that had the trumpet, "Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates." Remember the great river Euphrates. Now, let's look at the sixth vial in the last half of the book of Revelation, chapter 16, verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. Now, that's just what we had read before. Great river Euphrates in the first half, great river Euphrates in the second half. Do you think that this is a coincidence? How many times does a coincidence have to be a coincidence before it's more than just a coincidence? What do you think? How many times would you say? One, two, three? Well, it's hard to say, isn't it? Maybe two, maybe three. What do you think? Suppose that every time you drove out your driveway and back to the left, that your tire went flat. Well, how many times would it take before you started to look for something else besides just turning left there? In other words, how many times would it take you before you knew that there was more than a coincidence here? How many would it be? Second time? Third time? Well, most agree that it would be after the second time, and if you want to have maybe the third time. But here we have seven in a row. Suppose it was seven times, and every time you came to it, that that you got a flat. Well, after a while, you'd start looking for nails or something like that, you know, to stop the problem. Now we're going to look at the seventh trumpet. But instead of reading the actual blowing of the seventh trumpet, which is in chapter 11, we'll read the description of the seventh trumpet, which is in chapter 10, verse 7. Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, it says, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets." Now, this is a description of the seventh trumpet, remember. Now, when the seventh angel begins to sound, what God hath declared to his servants, the prophets, shall be what? Shall be finished. All prophecy that God has given to his prophets shall be what? Finished. When? At the beginning of the sound of the seventh trumpet. Do you see it there? Revelation 10, 7. Notice, all prophecy is finished when the seventh trumpet angel begins to blow. When he blows the seventh trump, which is the last trump. And now it begins to make sense. Because 1 Corinthians 15, 52 says, "In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the what? At the last," L-A-S-T, last trump, "we shall be changed, glory." Now we understand a little bit more as to when this is to occur. Revelation chapter 10, verse 7 sends much light on 1 Corinthians 15, 52, and vice versa. And you should read these scriptures together. Now let's look at this again. Prophecy shall be finished. Now, what is another word for finished? Ended, completed, final, yes, or done. All right, done. We like that. Go ahead now. We've got the end. All right, now let's read the seventh vial. The seventh vial is in the last half of the book of Revelation, chapter 16, verse 17. "And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came out a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. It is done." That sounds like it's finished, doesn't it? There we see it. The seventh trumpet says it's finished. The seventh vial says it's done. The same thing. What have you seen? What have you seen? You've seen that the first trumpet was blown upon the earth. Where was the first vial poured? Well, on the earth. The second trumpet was blown on the sea. Where was the second vial poured? On the sea. The third trumpet was blown on the rivers and fountains of waters. Where was the third vial poured? Why, on the rivers and fountains of waters. The fourth trumpet was blown on the sun. Where was the fourth vial poured? Well, on the sun. The fifth was on the seat of the beast. That's the fifth trumpet. And the fifth vial was on the bottomless pit. The same thing. The sixth trumpet was on the great river Euphrates. The sixth vial was on the great river Euphrates. The seventh trumpet said, "It's finished." And the seventh vial said, "It is done." You have just seen what we saw in the book of Genesis, that the last seven are the same thing. Remember, the seven skinny cows were the same as the seven skinny ears. Now, really, who cares about cows and who cares about ears? The seven skinny cows and the seven skinny ears represented something else. 7 years of famine. Now we notice in the book of Revelation the same thing. The last seven are the same. The seven trumpets are the same as the seven golden vials. Now the seven skinny cows and the seven skinny ears represent seven periods of time. They represent the same thing, but they're not the same thing. Really now, who cares about cows? Who cares about ears? The thing to which they relate is the important thing. That's the thing we want to understand. That's the thing we want to study, so that we can know the thing to which they relate, so that we can make preparation, so that we can be ready when the storm hits. In the book of Revelation, it's the same way. We must understand, not the trumpet, not the vial. Who cares about trumpets or vials? It's the thing to which they relate that makes sense, that we must understand. We must get it so that we can do something about that. Now we'll notice in the book of Revelation that the seven seals are the same as the seven angel messengers. The seals come before the trumpets. The angel messengers come before the vials. Trumpets and vials are the same. The seven seals and the seven angel messengers are the same. But there is a problem here. And the problem is this, that there is no book that we have been able to find on any library shelf which will define the seven angel messengers which are in chapter 14. Chapter 14 is broken down into these angel messengers, but we've got to identify this. I had to pray and study and memorize and fast for a long time before I could find out where those seven angels were. But here's the logic that I was using now. I knew that there were seven seals. I knew that there were seven trumpets afterwards. I knew there were seven vials, and they were the same thing. Now, I knew that there must be something in front of the seven vials. I reasoned it in my mind, and I honestly believe I was quickened by the Holy Spirit to give me a desire and a reasoning to say there must be something that would be relate to or be the same as those seven seals.
For the second part of this message by David E. Ball, entitled "Key to Revelation," please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.